Praise the Lord, it's Wednesday. Woo! Hallelujah. That means Friday's right around the corner, and then Sunday's coming. Yes. Doesn't get much better than this, and the Rooster Rossing's back. We figured he'd be in the ship's brig by the time they got done with him, that captain would put him there captive. Praise God. If you have your Bibles with you, you could turn with me to Matthew 11 and 11. I guess I'm just nervous about Brother Rossing being back because I had to pray through envy so much this last 2 weeks with him being on a cruise. Can you imagine Glenn Rossing at a smorgasbord, all you can eat, 24/7? It's scary. It really is scary. Hallelujah. Matthew 11:11. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God, heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You may be seated. When we think about the word of the Lord, it's so encompassing and so many things in the word of God, sometimes it can almost overwhelm us. When we begin to try to apply all of the principles and all the things that we know or think we know about the Word of God. But it takes more than a mental assent to receive something from the Word of God. You can see it and you can think you believe it, but you really don't believe it until you are able to use it. So, you know, the Bible talks about every promise, or the Bible. We know that every promise in the book is ours, basically. But it takes more than just knowing that they're in there to get them out of the word of the Lord. So tonight I'd like to talk to you just a few minutes about preparing to receive. Praise God. Philippians, the second chapter, the third through the seventh verse. Let nothing be done through strife and vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. When I read that statement, I have to tell you, my mind does not wrap around it too well. Let this mind be in Rich Thomas that was in Jesus Christ. Do you receive that scripture? Do you believe it? Yes. Praise God. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. I began to think about, when I was preparing for this, the amount of preparation that goes into sermons, the amount of preparation that goes into what we know a great men of God like Jason Sisko and Brother Bustard and so many men that have come through here, including our own pastor and all the preachers and teachers that come by our way. There is a price to pay for the supernatural. There's a lot of hours of study. There's a lot of days of fasting. And there's all this goes into the preparation, hiding the word of God in your heart. We have to give up everything if we're willing to get into the supernatural. We can come to church and believe what we believe and have our church services 3 times a week. But Pastor Roy challenged us here about a week ago, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, about going to the next level, to the next dimension. And we know that the next dimension is not just a church building. It's not just good preaching and awesome singing. It's the supernatural signs and wonders that the true book of Acts Church has in operation. Praise God. And we know that they're available, but we also know that it doesn't just happen because we know they're available. Praise God. So tonight I'm hoping that I can help some of you make that leap. I believe when preparation, your preparation meets your opportunity, that God will show up with an assignment. You know, many times we look for God to intervene or to, and we're praying for something, and yet we put nothing into the game. We have no skin in the game. We're just, God, I know you can do this. I know you can do that. But we haven't hidden the word of God in our heart. We haven't went out and done anything with what we already know. And yet we're asking for things that are above and beyond which we've ever seen. You think God's going to release that kind of anointing? I don't think so. We need to get into our heart and to our mind the process of preparation. Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time keeping my mind focused on things. Sometimes I'm over here and sometimes I'm over there, and I'm all over the Bible sometimes, but Philippians 4 and 7, the Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever..." Does this sound like what you think about most of the day? Hello? Or does this sound like a fairy tale? To think about this now, if we're going to pursue this path that we're talking about of preparation for the supernatural, this is what we need to be thinking about. Not about the Brewers game and not about cars or not about this, that, and the other thing. We have to be focused on the mission. Praise God. We need to set goals. You know, so many times... when I think about the promise of God, it just, I know I'm hungry to receive them. I think every person in here sincerely wants to grow in God. They want to become more than what they're presently doing. But the question I ask you tonight is, what are you doing to prepare to receive the anointing that you're praying about or the things that you want to accomplish in the supernatural? It's going to take more than just thinking or wishing about it. You're going to have to get down on your knees and pray, and you're going to have to push the plate away and fast, and you're going to have to get to the point where your love and relationship for Jesus Christ supersedes anything in this world that you might be looking at. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches are there every single day. We are pushed by a process that's in place, and we have to be in this process. And I think sometimes we're like mice on a treadmill. We just keep going around and around and around and around and around. And we go to work every day, and we do certain things every day because we have to. But sometimes I ask myself, am I really preparing myself to be used of God? What am I willing to give up? What are you willing to give up to be used of God? Are you going to be satisfied with where you are right now? I don't think I want to be where I'm at right now. If at the end of 6 months or a year I can't look back and see some spiritual progress, it only makes sense that I'm not growing. That if I'm not growing forward, I'm growing backwards. You know, you can go from hot to lukewarm to cold. There's only one position on the compass that the Almighty God recognizes, and that's hot. Everybody said amen. Amen. And the only way to get hot is to renew your relationship with the Lord like you had it when you first came in to the house of the Lord. Nobody had to ask you to talk about Jesus Christ at that time. Nobody had to tell you to pray. Nobody had to encourage you to come to church. It's true. We live in a society and a world that's run by the God of this world, and he's done everything he possibly can do to put every diversion known to man up to this point in front of us. And none of it is necessarily sinful. Your hobbies are not sinful, but they're sometimes time-wasting. Sometimes the effort we put into things of this world, if we could duplicate some of our zeal... I'm not getting many amens. If we could duplicate some of our zeal we have for some of the things in our life, if that zeal was for Jesus Christ, this church could not contain the people that were trying to get in through the front door. And listen what I'm telling you. I do not believe, Brother Roy or Brother Phil, that I am achieved or have achieved or even close to achieving what I would love to be. But I understand that my flesh goes just so far and then it backs up a little bit. I need more space. I go forward and come back. I go forward and come back. But there's only one direction. Every time you back up a half a step, you got to take that step back and then another step to get back to where he's expecting you to be. The only way to do it, I don't like to play catch-up religion. I think we've all done it. You know, you go on vacation, you're gone for a week or maybe 2 weeks, and oh, you're going to pray and you have a prayer time, but that kind of went down the chute when your flat tire and your vehicle broke down, and you know, you were around, you couldn't actually pray and all this and that and the other thing. But sooner or later, you're going to have to come back and face the reality of spirituality, the reality of eternity, the reality of our responsibility to the lost and the dying world. I'd like to turn my back sometimes. I'd like to just, it's not my responsibility. Am I really my brother's keeper? Yes. Yes, I am my brother's keeper. Do I really have to go out to the highways and byways and compel these people to come in? Only if you really believe what we preach. Only if you, in your heart you realize, hey, I haven't taught a Bible study in 5 years. I don't have the desire I had 10 years ago. I'm talking about myself here. My goal in the last 6 months, I said, Lord, you've got to help me return back to the place that I was. I am so far removed from what I think I should be or could be. God, have mercy on me. I preached a message a while back, and his mercy endureth forever. And I found myself further back than I wanted to be, and I went on my knees, and I began to pray, and God, your mercy endures forever. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your power to return to me. And God has been just doing some wonderful things. The moment you begin to prepare yourself for the journey, the moment you begin to seek God with all of the heart that you have, and the moment you decide that you're going to pray every day without ceasing, the moment you declare that you're going to win a soul for Jesus Christ before the end of the 2013 year, guess what's going to happen? You get in tune with the will of the Lord. You're not no longer conformed to this world, but you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. You know something? The only thing that I've noticed over the years is that you're never really satisfied or happy unless you are involved in the work of the Lord. You'll never feel the contentment or peace unless you have, and it's not, you know, I think everybody in here is involved in the work of the Lord, but I'm talking about not just doing those things that you've allowed to do in your life. I'm talking about going the extra mile. When's the last time you took another step into the ministry? When's the last time you woke up in the middle of the night and began to weep and cry because you had relatives who are lost and dying? I'm just trying to tell you the truth here. This whole community is depending upon Calvary Gospel Church to seek and save that which is lost. We are the only hope they have, period, end of story. So if we do not have the fire, if we cannot bring ourselves to prepare to be used of God, who's going to do it? Praise God. I'm sorry if I sound like I'm preaching to myself here. I guess as you get older, not that I'm old, but I can see the end of the tree. I mean, I'm not going to live forever, and I know that, you know, my time here at Calvary Gospel Church is limited, and I understand all that. I'm not afraid of that. only thing I'm afraid of is not doing everything God's ordained me to do. He has a mission and a plan for each and every one of us. And if we don't seek out that plan, if we don't seek out that assignment, we'll never get it. God has done everything He was going to do for you on Calvary's cross. When you repented of your sins and were baptized into the precious name of Jesus Christ, that was all He's going to do for you. From that point on, it's all on you. It's all on me. God does not push me to get up in the morning to pray. God will not cause me to, you know, He'll encourage you if you try. But He's not going to do these things. It's up to us. He only has our hands and our feet and our eyes and our ears and our heart. I and them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world might know that thou hast sent me and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God loves you just like He did Jesus Christ the man. We need to strive to become one with Him. We can't have hidden things of dishonesty. We can't have our heart double-minded and expect to receive anything of God. We've got to be totally committed. When you're totally committed, then you have all kinds of time to do the things that you need or would like to do anyway. But you'll always feel good about what you're doing if you're willing to sacrifice a little bit. Go a little bit further than you've ever went before. Pray an extra hour someday just to see if you can do it. Become a habitual prayer addict, a habitual fasting addict, someone who gets so caught up in this that you become addicted to Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you're striving after will follow after you. You know what can happen if we don't do that? Now, our pastor's been preaching this for 32 years. God is almost forced then to take something away. Hey, if what you're involved, if you were a father or a mother, and you knew and you had something, you'd given something to your child, and that child was not using it properly. He was abusing the privilege. It's like letting your 16-year-old drive the car, and you go by your house one day, and it's going 98 miles an hour down the other street behind the house. You say, whoops, I don't think he's ready for this. I know I wasn't ready for this. Praise God. I just read an article the other day, and it dealt with something I had never heard about ever. Now, maybe Devin would know. He's probably not in here. But it's called the reticular activating system. Anybody ever heard of that? There's one. There's two. And it's an amazing phenomenon. I had no earthly idea that every one of us is born with what the scientists call a reticular activating system. And it's a small piece on the bottom of your brain cell, not way down here, okay? And that connects with all parts of your brain. And it's made up of neurons that run through the brain. And this article was way above my head. And I don't even know why I was reading it until all of a sudden in the middle of this. Look it up sometime. It's pretty cool. You have to kind of wade through pages of stuff that I can't even pronounce. However, but as I began to read this article, I began to understand that God has put within us the ability to focus. And He does it with this reticular activating system. I'm going to call it the RAS system. Everyone has a RAS system. Let me explain to you how it works. There is a lot of power in this system. And this RAS system will cause you to focus on something and block out all the other information. You know, when you're going out to buy a car, you're zoned. You know, it's all you think about. After I was reading this article, I realized I had many of my own RAS activities that happened in my life. For example, in 2007, I bought the present vehicle that I have that has 148,000 miles on it. And I'll be honest with you, I had never driven a car that nice, seriously. And it was the most beautiful color I had ever seen. It was like, wow, way too cool. Bluish gray with specks in it. And if you look at it, sometimes it's blue and sometimes it's gray. And I got in that car and you couldn't even see my eyes. I had to lift the seat way up, you know. It's like, wow, this is really cool. I'd never seen a car like this. Would you believe? I drove away with that and I began seeing 2004 Sequoias every place I went. You ever had that happen to you? Everybody had. I don't know anybody that didn't have one. It was like, boom, boom, where are they all coming from? They must have had a Sequoia let out or something. They just let them all out. See, we only see what we're prepared to see. That's the way God had programmed us. It is amazing. The thing about this RAS system, you can be programmed positively or negatively. Now, we've all been around people that everything they process is negative. The glass is always half empty. They look at any situation and it's not good. They've allowed this RAS system to... See, the RAS system is totally neutral. It doesn't care what you put in front of it. But if you put in front of it long enough, it will take on that identity. I heard of a farmer that lived next to the world's most negative man. This farmer, it was told, he bought and trained a dog, and he wanted to impress his neighbor, the world's most negative man. He trained it to sit up, to roll over, to play dead. I mean, the dog was amazing. Shake hands, jump through a hoop. So the farmer takes his dog over to the negative neighbor. Just wanted to show him all the tricks that he had trained his dog to do. The neighbor looked at him and said, any dog can do that. So the farmer, he takes the dog and he says, I'm going to show him. He took him back home and he worked 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 with him. And he was ready to show the dog again. So he invited the negative farmer to go out duck hunting with him. And they're out in the blind. He goes, pow! Duck falls into the water. The dog jumps out of the boat and begins to walk on water. The farmer looked at him and said, what's the matter? Can't he swim? Negative people only can receive negative things. Most of us are not quite that negative, but we usually have a combination of this. Jesus said we have two sets of eyes. We have physical eyes and we have spiritual eyes. Jesus said, you that have ears, let them hear. You that have eyes, let them see. Well, obviously there's two dimensions to our walk with God. There's that you sense things in the Holy Ghost with your eyes sometimes. You feel them. You hear things from God with your ears. But we have to train ourselves to get to that point. In 2 Kings 6:15, we read that Elijah was not prepared to see until Elisha prayed for him. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? I would have said poorly. No. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. So, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. This has been one of my prayers recently. Lord, open my eyes that I might see the things, the spiritual things that are around me. The Bible says, and the Lord opened his eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. So many times we get in the middle of something and we're not looking with our spiritual eyes. We're looking with our feelings, with our thoughts, and we begin to panic. We say, oh my God, how am I going to make my payments? How am I going to, I'm so involved in all this stuff. Why don't you pray, God, open up my spiritual eyes. God, you have promised to give me all that I need according to your riches and glory. God, you said you'd give me the desires of my heart. I believe that I've sought first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. I believe these things are going to follow after me. I rebuke any negative attempt of the devil to steal these from me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we are born into this kingdom of God, we all come in, and I don't know about you, when I came in here, I had a pretty shabby RAS system going on. I was tentative, and I didn't trust people, and it just didn't seem that anybody could be this nice. I'm serious, they come in here, everybody shaking your hands, smiling, say, hey, I love you, man. I'm thinking, yeah, right. Yeah, I bet. I was out on a job site shortly after I was saved, and this guy I'd known for years, the guy was really a crook. And I began talking to him about the Lord, and he kept backing up, and I said, hey, man, you have got to try. This is amazing. I think differently. I walk differently. I talk differently. He said, wait a minute. He said, Rich, how much do you get for this? I said, what do you mean? He said, you get a cut, commission, or I guess I hadn't sold my product properly. I'm talking about eternity here. He didn't get it, you know. Praise God. The good news about our RAS system is that we can reprogram it. We can recalibrate. And we can do that through the preaching of the word, through a multitude of counsel, through the word of the Lord, and by renewing our mind. But we have to prepare ourselves. It doesn't just happen. You won't receive anything from God just because you know you have it coming. You've got to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Romans 12:1. This is sort of the formula. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Transformation. We come in with junk in the trunk. Stuff that have happened, things that we've done, places we've gone, all these negative things. The only way out, my friend, is to renew your mind. Renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? Lord, I look at your promises and I'm claiming the promise of whatever it is that you need. You begin to speak that promise. You begin to articulate that promise. You begin to meditate on that promise until it's yours. It's got to be yours. Otherwise, we should just leave here. If you don't believe that you can receive these things, why even go there? Why come to church? We're all on a road. We all have a journey. We're all marching towards eternity. Some of us are closer than others, but nevertheless, we're all going that. Who would have thought Mark Walden would be standing in eternity today? I mean, who would have thought that? It's almost unbelievable. We just saw him over at Cracker Barrel, Roy. We talked to him. We saw him up at the altar praying, and all of a sudden, he's gone. You know, when you think about life, you don't know if you have another day. You know, you look in the newspaper. There's a lot of things happening around here. And I'm not an alarmist, but I would say that this world is coming quickly to a collision course with the judgments of God, particularly the United States of America. Now, we can pass laws that legislate all kinds of things that are an abomination to God, but it isn't going to change anything. I don't think we have to drag all that stuff out and look at it, but I think this, that you've got to be careful that you don't get sucked into this and start rationalizing that this is acceptable. that something, you know, every time you expose yourself to evil, you have the opportunity to get vexed. Every time you watch a movie with questionable things in it, well, it's not so bad. Well, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm becoming more and more aware of the fact that there's no middle ground here. You're either in or you're out. You're either feeding the Holy Ghost or you're feeding your flesh. And if you're feeding your flesh, you're feeding the enemy. And you're going to lose the battle. You cannot win. There's no compromise in this warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. What are we wrestling against? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Who have a design in hell for you and for me and for everybody sitting in this building. And he's very, very patient. You know, as much as God feeds us line upon line and precept upon precept, the devil takes away line upon line and precept upon precept. Just talked to someone yesterday, in fact, and she was almost crying because someone in her life who used to be in here, used to worship with us, now no longer believes it. Not only doesn't believe it, but now they're believing a whole bunch of other lies. Buy the truth and sell it not. Don't give up what you've got here because things get a little rough. If you think they're rough here, you ought to get out there. And I feel bad for people who judge our doctrine based upon what they consider to be our standards. Like, you know, we wrote the Bible. You know, you read the Bible and you try to apply your life the best you can to it. You know, the interpretation of the scripture is open to no private interpretation. It's either it is or it isn't. But man always wants to go somewhere in between, just a step over this way or a step over that way. You know, that's been our downfall since the beginning. Well, I know God said they were supposed to bring an animal sacrifice in the garden, but so what's wrong with my fruits and vegetables? I'm an organic farmer. Everybody should be eating this stuff. But isn't, do you see how this works? It's just a little leaven levels the whole lump. You know, particularly those of you that have children that are going to school, keep in mind, you need to debrief them every day they come home. You need to ask them questions. You need to see their homework. You need to be participating in the process. I remember my bus route years ago, and I was down in a different part of town, and I was ministering to this family, and the little girl had her worksheet. She was in third grade, and it was sexual education. Third grade? And there was this, they would give a body part, and then you could draw a line to what that represents or how that correlates. I mean, it was like, it was a child pornography. I mean, literally, it was like, why would anybody want their child to know what and how people make babies? What is that about? But see, this is already in our school system. They have what's called outcome-based education. That's a delightful thing. We can create our own outcome. The outcome is Bill and Tom are married. It's a good outcome. Help me, Jesus. Well, you know, for us to be successful, you know, the world has a success system. And there's a couple things that will apply in the world success system, and I believe will apply to spiritual success as well. People who are successful have goals. They set goals. Not only do they set goals, but they measure the goals. And then they do something that's really crazy. They work their buns off for their goals. And then this RAS system kicks in. And because they are focused on it, your RAS system will deflect all these other thousands of bits of information that are trying to enter into your conscious or subconscious mind. I don't know, this might be getting too woolly for some of you, but this is the way it works. And successful people understand that if they set goals and they measure these goals, they will accomplish great things for their company. Great things for whatever they're setting their goals for. How about if the church of the living God said, you know what? I'm pushing all things aside. What if we just did a 30-day trial? We said, you know what? We're going to spend the next month praying, fasting, going out, knocking on doors, seeking to save that which is lost. That's a novel approach, kind of a Book of Acts approach. They went house to house, preaching and teaching. I'm not saying I'm doing it. I'm just saying we can't do, like Roy mentioned, if we're going to do what we've always done, how in the world are we going to stuff 20,000 people into eternity? I think Roy figured it out. It would take us 260 years or something if we went at our present rate, or if we even doubled that. It would be not in our lifetime. We have to have the supernatural manifestations that they had in the book of Acts, where 3,000 come in and 5,000 come in. You know why they came in? Because it was noised abroad what happened to the impotent man at the gate. It was noised abroad about the healings and the miracles and the signs and the wonders. People are hungry for the supernatural. They're not looking for church anymore. They're looking for a church that's alive. It's worth the drive. They'll be standing out like they do for touch twice, because they know they're going to get relief. Oh, halakarabakashata. Listen, if this hits one or two of you, I'd be just tickled to death. It's been hitting me for a couple months, and I'm at the point, you know, I'm about ready to pull all the stops out. This morning I was in prayer, and it just kept coming. I've been praying that God would use me in intercession, and I mean, He used me in intercession. It was a long, prolonged time weeping and crying and thinking about these people that are outside of this building, and I'm thinking, oh my God, they have nobody else but us. We're the only hope they have. But do I really love you, Jesus, with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or is that just a phrase that I use? And if I really love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, how come I have all these deviations? How come I have all these things going on? And I'm not against anything that anybody does. I'm just saying that if there's anything in your life that's taking more precedent than your relationship with God, you're being deceived. And whatever's taking your attention now, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. It's going to take up more time, because there's always more toys. Anybody ever been on a toy trail besides me? You start off with a 2-foot boat when you're a kid in the bathroom. And then it gets, a little bigger, and then you go down to the lake and you see, oh my goodness, look how big those boats are. You start off with a fishing pole. I used to have a cane pole. You know what a cane pole is? There's no reel on a cane pole. It was like this long line, you throw it like this. Try to buy a cane pole these days. You can't find them. They're Zebco. They're $600 reels and 60,000 types of baits. When we went up to Canada, there was a sign in the resort owner's cottage there, and it said, it shows an American fisherman, and he's got all his gear on, man. He's got hip waders. He's got lures all over himself and on his hat. He's got 16 poles and probably $2,000 worth of equipment, and the Canadian fisherman standing there with one little lure and a fishing pole. I don't know where I was going with that. I think it has to do with the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. Praise God. But when you become obsessed with Jesus Christ, and he wakes you in the morning, and he talks to you at noontime, and in the middle of the night, names start coming into your mind. Oh my God, my uncle's lost. My father is lost. My neighbor is lost. My boss is lost. Heavenly Father, you've got to reach down and save these. You've got to intercede for them. Way back in the book of Ezekiel, the Bible says that God looked for a man to stand in the gap. I believe he's still looking for men and women to stand in the gap. The gap, my friend, is between heaven and hell. That's where the gap's at. Let's lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you and we worship you, Lord. We lift up your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Without setting spiritual goals, we're going to lose our fire. We're going to lose our focus. We're going to become unfruitful. One of the easiest ways to tell how you're doing when you do a checkup and the neck up, is to see, well, what's in the basket. If you go fishing, usually that's a sign that you should be catching fish. And Jesus made us fishers of men, so somewhere in there we have to be contributing to the process. I'm not saying everybody needs to be involved in outreach. I'm just saying everybody has to be involved. And not just involved. I think it's important that we have passion. If you're a passionate Sunday school teacher, praise God. Praise God for people with passion. If you're in the music department, you're not putting on a show. We have passionate musicians here, men and women who have a ministry and a gift of God, and they're using that. And it breaks the spiritual atmosphere. Praise God. Praise God. You're going to receive your mission line upon line and precept upon precept. God's not going to tell you in most cases what he's going to do with you. What you do and must do is prepare yourself to be used. You need to assume that the scripture is correct when it says the fields are white and ready for harvest, but the laborers are few. So, Lord, teach me to be a laborer in whatever area I might be involved in or can be involved in. Teach me to pray. Teach me to love people like you love them. Teach me to be willing to sacrifice my time and my money. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to reprogram our heart. And the way to do that is being honest with yourself, feeding on the Word of God. Feeding on the Word of God. Does our life line up with the Word of God? Don't look at me or anybody around you. Look at the Word of God. Seek counsel, but look at the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I did some reading the other day about pruning. Of course, we all know what the Bible talks about, pruning. And if God prunes you, you're out. He cuts your whole branch down and throws you in the fire. That is not my idea of a good weekend. See, the thing about that fruit branch, I was reading what an arborist said. He said that we sometimes have to cut off whole limbs because the fruit that they're bearing is not tasty. It's not right. It's causing other limbs not to receive the amount of nutrition they need. So when you prune, when God prunes, it has a twofold purpose. It relieves more sap for the rest of the tree. And it allows the rest of the tree to produce good fruit. Lord, I want to produce good fruit. I mean, good fruit. You know, God's a God of abundance. You know, acorn trees produce thousands upon thousands of acorns. Usually only one or two grow into a tree. Look at the seeds in a mustard seed. There's probably hundreds of thousands of them. Very few seeds produce another tree or another plant. But we can assure ourselves if we apply this, if we apply the word of God to our hearts, and you know, when the Bible says, let a man examine himself so he'll know whether he's in the truth. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is heavy stuff. Fear and trembling. You mean I could be lost? Yeah. Yeah, you could be lost. And not know it? Paul said, you know, I'm a little concerned, Paul said, you know, that I preach to others and I might myself be a castaway. So it only makes sense. You know, I love church, I love to worship, I love all the things that we're doing. But I will not go and stand in front of God based upon how much I worshiped at Calvary Gospel Church. Worship really helps us. If you worship, the presence of God comes there and you get blessed. When you get to the point where you feel you've got to do something more than worship and come to church and pay your tithes, that you've got to be involved with people. You know this revival that we keep talking about? We are going to need every single person. It's going to have a list of people. You won't even know these people. Hi, I'm Rich Thomas. I hear you and your family of 47 just received the Holy Ghost. How can I help you? What are your needs? How can we be of service to you? Somebody's going to have to do what needs to be done. God's not going to send this revival until our hearts are so hungry and so thirsting after souls that we're willing to do whatever it takes. Oh, hallelujah. T.F. Tenney once said about Jesus, he's a gold mine. It's exciting to dig in and get gold out, but what is even more exciting is to realize that there is more in there than you can ever dig out. The riches of God are unsearchable. The more you give, the more you get. The more you get involved. The peace that passeth all understanding that we all quote so many times comes through involvement. The joy unspeakable and full of glory comes when you are actively involved in the work of the Lord in a sacrificial way. Everybody said, oh me. Praise God. The gift that we've been given is a gift that keeps on giving. So many folks stop at Acts 2:38, but there is so much more for everyone who's hungry and is thirsting after the righteousness of the living God. You know, some of us lack patience. It's all in the gift. You just have to unwrap it. Some people get so upset about holiness, they walk out of church. Nobody's going to tell me to wear a dress. Oh, I see. So you're going to walk away from eternity? Because you don't like God's dress code? I don't get it. But that's one of the biggest reasons people leave the church. They think somehow we started this. Praise God. It is still an abomination for a man or a woman to wear man's clothing. I mean, that's in the scripture. You can ask Brother Ross, and he teaches 301. It's in there. Now, there's a lot of things in there that we don't necessarily feel are a big deal, but that's the problem. They're in there. God put it in there because it's a big deal. If you're willing to break the least of these commandments, where do you stop? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Remember, we can only see what we are prepared to see. We must prepare ourselves. Mark 8:22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Recently, I went back to the master and I asked for a second touch. I want to see men clearly. If you really focus on the people around you, you will not be able to resist praying for them. You can walk by them and pray, but you can't just ignore them. How many people are sitting in eternity because some of us never told them about Jesus? Told this story before, but there's a man lived across the street from me years ago. I was just into the church, and he was an electrician, nice guy. I couldn't bridge the gap between him and spirituality. He liked our family. He liked our children. They were very young at the time. And name was Glenn. And all of a sudden, we found out he had lung cancer. Oh, my heart just, how am I going to get to this man? How am I going to get to this man? And every time I came home from work, he was sitting on his porch. God said, go over and talk to him. Go over and talk to him. Go over and talk to him. I went over there, and I couldn't come up with the words to say. The wall was up too high. One day I came home, and he wasn't there, and I got a call from his wife. He said, would you please take me down to the nursing home? Glenn passed away. You know, we're not always going to have the opportunity to witness to Glenn. We're not always going to have the people that we love so much, that we care so much about, but yet we're afraid to offend them. Does that make sense? Can we find a way through the mercy of God and the intelligence of the Most High God that he could give us some bridge to walk from where they're at to into their life? I think so. If we pray and fast and seek God for their soul, I believe God was going to give us the desires of our heart. Praise God. This church, Calvary Gospel Church, is going to be a hospital for the sick. It's going to be a hospital for those who have a broken heart. It's going to be a hospital for the halt, the maim, and the lame. Can't be any other way. It can't be any other way. And we as individuals have to be prepared to minister. We have to be instant in season and out of season. But you need to prepare yourself before the situation comes. You can't wait until something's put on you and you go, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle all this. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not have to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I thank God that they beat my head in and drilled me in Marine Corps before we went into combat. Seriously, I would hate to have been over there without any idea how to start my tank or shoot my flamethrower or shoot my 45. And they went over and over and over and over and trained and trained and trained and trained. We hated training until we got into combat. They say, thank God, we know what to do now. One of these days, God's going to call you. But we're only going to receive what we're prepared to receive. Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, how important it is for you and I to understand that we have to memorize the word. We need to meditate on the word. We need to call that word upon our own life. We need to speak the word to those things around us. Say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. We have the authority, we have the power, we have everything we need, but if we won't prepare ourselves to be used, we will never get there. Never get there. Throughout the Bible, we see so many people, men and women, who were prepared to receive the promises of God. They were ready to receive them. They were eager to receive them. Moses, Abraham, David, Esther, Deborah, Daniel, the three Hebrew men, and many, many others. They all had got to the place where they're ready to receive their miracles. Listen, you can put yourself right at the top of the spiritual food chain here. If you, in your heart, begin to prepare for those things that you have not seen yet. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. So you know that there, you have hands. In your hands, you have the authority to lay hands on the sick. And the Bible says they will recover. You have a voice that you can cast out devils in the name of Jesus Christ. It's our right, our privilege, our responsibility. You say, well, we don't have an opportunity to do this. That's because God's not going to send people here if there's no one here to do it. But what if 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 people said, you know what? I want to make myself available. I want to memorize scripture. I want to put my heart into this. I want to fast an extra day. And if God tells me, I'll go a whole week. I want to be used of God to seek and to save that which is lost. They're lost, they're lost, they're lost, they're lost, they're lost, they're lost. That's a flimsy word. How about they're going to be thrown into a lake of fire, into a bottomless pit? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Oh my God. We can only receive what we're ready to receive. Are you ready to see your lost relatives saved? Are you preparing yourself? Are you ready to be delivered from your addiction? Are you ready to receive deliverance from your depression? So many people suffer from depression, even folks, good folks in the church, because they brought it into the church not even knowing it was there. And the spirit of depression, the spirit of heaviness, the Bible calls it. God desperately wants to give those of you with depression the garment of praise. It's a promise. He will give it to you if you prepare yourself for it. Are you ready to receive a healing? Are you ready to receive financial freedom? These are just promises that are laying out there waiting for somebody to receive if you prepare yourself. Are you ready to receive God's plan of salvation if you'd stand with me? You have to forgive me for preaching to myself tonight, but I want to stir myself up. I can't do this anymore just doing what I've been doing. I need to go to the next level. I don't know exactly how to get there, but I believe that everybody's got a next level. Wherever you're at tonight, ask yourself, how long have I been here? Is it time for me to move up? Is God calling me to another dimension? Have I ever been higher than I am right now? That's a good indicator. Listen, I hope I'm not sending condemnation here. I'm pleading with you. I believe in this church. I believe in our pastors. I believe every one of us has a mission. And if we really have a mission, if we really have a burden for this, no, there's no devil in hell that can stop you from being productive. The only thing that can stop you is yourself. Because you have other interests. You have other priorities. As for me and my house, I just want to please the Lord. I want to serve God with all my heart, all my mind, soul, and strength. I want to love Him. And I can't love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength if part of me is not on the same page as Him. If I'm saying and doing things that are contrary to the word of the Lord, I need to repent and move on, draw closer to God. It's not a big rocket ship thing. You don't have to go to seminary to get all this. Just get on your knees and ask God, say, Holy Father, I'm coming home. I'm coming back. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to become productive and fruitful in the kingdom of God. Many of you here are very, very fruitful in the kingdom of God. And I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm just trying to say, no matter what you're doing for God right now, there's another level. Praise God. So I'm going to open up this altar for anyone who'd like to make a step forward. This is well-pleasing unto God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice to Him, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reason.